Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to Warden Full Gospel Assembly. And wherever you are watching from, we want to welcome you, whether you're at home or you're visiting family or friends and you're sitting in a large room or you're in a different province even or a different country. We have people watching from all over the world, our services, and wherever you are at, we want to welcome you once again to another online service. We're in a series called Influence, and we're in part two of that. I was wondering this week, have you ever wondered, whether it's in business or in a relationship or simply completing a task or finishing a task, what the difference is between something that lasts and something that doesn't? For example, when two students start university, one finishes their coursework, the other can't seem to find traction and quit school altogether. Or why is it that one couple can stay together for a lifetime while other couples who marry can't seem to get their act together and their marriage falls apart? Two people struggle with addiction. One overcomes and one simply continues to struggle for an entire lifetime. Have you ever wondered why when someone is baptized, one person is baptized and follows Jesus very closely, the other has been baptized and gradually drifts away into obscurity, not following the Lord? What's the difference? Why do some people follow through and others don't? Now, I know life can be very complicated and there can be all kinds of mitigating circumstances and decisions that are made, but it certainly is an interesting question, and it's a very interesting phenomena. When you think of it on a spiritual level, why do some people make a commitment to follow Christ and others don't? Is it resolve? Is it effort? Is it friendships that create these interesting circles? Is it circumstances or the environment? Is it the involvement of participating in church and going through a discipleship program? What is it that causes some people to follow through on their commitment and others don't? Last week, as we began this series, I talked about the fact that in order to engage in a lifelong journey of influence, all of us need to be engaged in and available to an ongoing transformation internally by not being squeezed into the mold and into the mindset of the world or worldly thinking. And also, I talked about becoming actively participatory in cooperating with the gifts that God has deposited in you and utilizing those gifts for the furtherance of God's kingdom. You see, living for Christ, if that is your ongoing purpose, if that is your goal and your desire, living for Christ is a challenge and it requires diligent participation. It requires a mentality of being committed in devotion to the Lord. You can't make a decision and then just think it's going to carry you through. No, it's an ongoing process of a volitional decision of commitment to the Lord. So today, as we continue in this series, I want to review this teaching that Jesus gave to us in John chapter 15. And I hope you can catch a vision of this long-term involvement that is needed so that our faith can not only grow, but in the process of our commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, that we become people of influence. Now, what I want you to see immediately, what I want you to notice in John chapter 15, that these are not just words that are directed to the disciples, the group of people who were closely associated with Jesus, but these words have been passed on to us today through the generations. See, John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to that portion of Scripture, John chapter 15 describes this unique dialogue that is sandwiched between two events. There are two events where this dialogue is in between. The Last Supper has just been completed, and Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. Judas, the betrayer, had left and was going to make, had gone to make a deal, secret deal, to betray Jesus. And it's right before it's the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. And in this in-between moment, between the crucifixion and the Last Supper, Jesus, with the remaining disciples, gives this talk to them. And as the disciples and Jesus are lounging after the meal, and before they travel to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas betrays them, in this most crucial moment, on this most crucial night, Jesus begins this talk, and he makes application using the vineyard as an example of what our commitment to the Lord is all about. And so in this passage of John chapter 15, this doesn't just inspire us to make a commitment in our life journey, but it also shows us how we can do that. And if there's anything that I want you to learn from this passage, is this: long-term faithfulness to Jesus creates influence and brings fulfillment. That's what we need to learn from this portion of Scripture. In other words, when you are faithful, when you are committed over the length of your life, over the long haul in your life journey, your life will bear fruit. I call that influence. And not only will you be influential, but your life will be fulfilled, and you will experience immense internal joy that arises out of your involvement and your investment into being a person of influence. And so John chapter 15 talks about how to have this long life of influence. And the first point is this: that we need to connect to the source. And Jesus is the source. Notice these words in the first two verses of John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more." Now, when Jesus was saying these words, people understood this illustration because there were many, many acres of vineyards in the first century. Flourishing, thriving grapevines, if properly maintained and nurtured, could produce huge amounts of crop. There is value in pruning, is what Jesus is saying here. Now, I have watched pruning company trucks drive around this city in our neighborhoods pruning trees. And sometimes that is necessary to prune trees to keep overhead wires free of branches, keep electrical boxes that are on the ground free of shrubberies and bushes, and keep those items exposed. And so these pruning people and pruning company trucks go around the city into our neighborhoods pruning trees. Now, have you noticed what trees look like after they have been pruned? It's hideous. And sometimes I feel sorry for the trees and what they have just experienced. There is so much pruning that goes on in some of these trees that these poor trees must feel naked at times. And my first thought is, I wonder if these pruning companies and these people who are pruning really know what they are doing. But then I come back to the point that the experts say that vegetation needs to be pruned because when plants are pruned, they will rebound and be better, healthier, and stronger. You see, there is value in pruning. Pruning might look devastating at first, but in the months to come and in the years to come, that tree, that shrub will become and look better. The same is true for grapevines. Pruning of the grapevine will produce a large crop in the months to come. And what Jesus is saying is that pruning is necessary in order for health and vitality of the vine to produce more fruit. It's necessary for this to be gained. Jesus understands, and he points this point out to his disciples and to us. He knows what Jesus is saying is he knows what is best for us. He knows exactly what I need in my life. He knows exactly what you need in your life. And that's what he does in our lives. He sometimes must prune so that we can become better people to make us more like his image in our lives. But let me tell you something. You know this. Pruning isn't always pleasant. It can be a difficult season. It can be tough times, a time period in your life where things are not going well. But I can tell you this, when you go through these difficult seasons and questionable times in your life, it will certainly draw you closer to God. I was talking to a family recently dealing with a severe and aggressive health crisis in their lives. And I remember the husband saying to me, "One thing that this crisis has done for us, it has caused us to seek the Lord and to draw closer to God than ever before. It sure has made us pray more," is what he said. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In order for us to stay attached and to go through these times where pruning is happening, in order for us to stay attached, we must be drawn closer into the presence of God in those pruning periods. That's the key. We remain connected to the source. And the way we connect to the source is through prayer. It's drawing closer. It's talking to God. That's exactly what prayer is. A lot of times when we talk about prayer, something happens in us where we get mixed reactions from people when we talk about prayer. But prayer is simply talking to God. Nothing impressive, nothing flowery. You don't have to use elegant language, and you certainly don't have to speak in the King James Version language to be effective in your prayer. No. It's simply conversation. It's the same manner that you would talk to your friends. It's to connect with God by simply talking with him. It's this awareness that throughout the day, I have this sensitivity of connection with my Lord. He's close in my thoughts. I'm aware of his presence in my life. And so when I face challenges and I face situations that are uncomfortable for me, there is this simple awareness that I need God's presence. I need to be aware of God's presence. I need to understand God's assurance and his strength for me. And so as I converse to him, what Jesus is saying here, in those pruning times, you draw close to the source. So prayer is an invitation for us, and Christ's invitation is to us to involve Christ's involvement in every facet of our life. When I go through the complexities of life in those pruning moments, Jesus is saying, stay connected to me, and I will direct your path according to my purposes for your life. Don't quit. Don't give up. Come and draw close to me. The second point to have a long-term influence is not only to connect to the source, but it's to remain connected to the source. Connect to the source and then remain connected to the source. Now, I want to read two verses to you. And as I read these verses, I want you to notice that one word continually pops up in verse 4 and in verse 5. Notice what it says in John 15, verse 4 and 5, and look for this one word. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is reminding his disciples and us that strength comes from the source. And if you continue to have sustaining power, for you to have sustaining power, you must be attached to him. Now, did you notice that one word that Jesus kept using over and over again? In fact, it happened four times in these two verses to emphasize a very unique point. The word is remain. Now, some of your translations in the Bible may use the word abide, but it has the same meaning. Jesus says, remain, four times in these two verses. Now, this is not a random word. There is a distinct reason why Jesus is using this word, remain. And he repeats it. There's a repetition of this word over and over again because he's making a very strong emphasis. Remember, Jesus is saying these words just before, the night before his crucifixion. And he's trying to say to his disciples a very important truth of what is going to happen and how to live life. A life that is devoted to him for the duration, with all the ups and downs, with all the confusion, with all the detours, with all the pain that we experience in life. Jesus is trying to say to his disciples a very important truth of how to live life when we go through these pruning experiences. He uses the word remain to remind us, to remind the disciples, there is no quick scheme. There is no quick solution. Things don't necessarily happen instantaneously or quickly. We are instead to remain. The only thing that is instantaneous in your Christian experience is when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you experienced his salvation. That's the only time where instantaneous things happen. But the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus requires us to spend the rest of our life developing our faith, fostering our faith, developing our faith so that it produces a life of influence. And the power to become a person of influence happens when you stay and remain connected to the vine. We are reminded to remain connected to Jesus in the ups and downs, in the detours of life, in the frustrations and the pains of life. Continue to remain in him and devoted to him. There is this vine at Hampton Court Palace in England, just outside of the city of London, England. There is a grapevine that is still alive and still producing fruit that is 252 years old. This grapevine was planted in 1768. In fact, it's the largest grapevine in the world, and it's at Hampton Court Palace, just outside of London, England. Gardeners take care of this plant meticulously. This particular vine has branches that are 37 meters long. The girth of the trunk of this vine in diameter is 3.7 meters or 12 feet around. In 2001, it produced the greatest harvest of any grape plant ever on this planet. That one grape vine produced a crop of 383 kilograms of grapes. And each year in the early spring, the gardeners that watch over this plant continue to prune this plant because they know if we meticulously prune this grape, it will continue to produce bountiful and large amounts of fruit. The fruit that comes from this one plant happens because life is in the vine. Similarly, in our daily life, this is what can be said of us. Jesus says, I am the vine. Life comes from me. And when you acknowledge him, when you acknowledge your complete dependence on him, and you are diligently staying attached to the vine, which is a volitional decision of heart and mind, when you make this decision, you will have life. And that life can be a life of influence. And so throughout life, there are constantly moments where decisions have to be made in your life. Some are ethical decisions, some are moral decisions, some are spiritual decisions, some are relational decisions. Whatever decisions that you have to make in life, whether or not you need to maintain your integrity, or are you going to compromise? The way that you make the decisions, the result of the decisions you make, is usually determined by the values that you have derived at by being connected to Jesus. That's how you make the decisions. The decisions that are based on integrity and not compromise happen because of your connection to Jesus. So continuing in our faith and to remain in the vine is especially difficult, especially when you are dealing with struggles in life. When struggles happen, predominantly, and usually we refer to these as health struggles, sometimes there's murmuring that goes on in our minds and in our heart as we deal with these struggles of life. And I've heard these questions that people ask. Is this how a loving God treats his children? Is this the payback that I am getting because I serve God? Is this how he treats me because I've served him for so many years? See, when those struggles happen and those issues come to forbearance in your life, how are you going to respond? How are you going to treat those moments that are difficult in your life? Will you move back in anger, or will you continue to move forward in faith? Are you going to remain a follower of Jesus in spite of? Are you going to remain committed to him for the long haul? You see, what happens during crisis moments is that sometimes in these moments we begin to have doubts, and sometimes our doubts become more powerful than our faith in God. I like what Paul Tillich said. He used to say, doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It's an element of faith. And so what these verses in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5 are trying to indicate to us is that our Christian life is a marathon. There are many situations and circumstances, many ups and highs and many lows and downtimes. Yet in the process of living our Christian experience in this marathon, this long run that we are in, it's not a sprint. We need to remain close to the source. And if we don't remain close to the source, it's going to be very difficult to have any kind of lasting influence in the duration of time. In other words, listen, friends, you won't be able to impact others. You won't be able to influence others if you're not close to Jesus yourself. And so it constantly requires of me to take the focus off myself and put it upon others. You won't be able to produce the fruit that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15 if you are only concerned about your own personal wants and your own personal happiness. But there's one more point that I want to draw your attention to. Lastly, Jesus says that if we're going to have long-term influence, we need to continue to cultivate connection with the source. We need to connect to the source, we need to remain connected to the source, and we need to continue to cultivate this connection. Notice what it says. There's a lengthy portion of scripture here in John chapter 15, verse 8 through 14. Notice what it says. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Verse 10. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Verse 12. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus says, let me summarize these verses. This is what Jesus is saying. Joy will flourish in your life if you love others. See, influence happens through your love towards others. This love that we are to exude happens and is a byproduct of my relationship, your relationship to the source, who we have now seen is Jesus. It's a natural outworking of that relationship. My relationship with Jesus should cause me to overflow in love towards others. My closeness to the Lord, my walking with God on a daily basis causes influence to happen. You see, friends, influence happens when you take the focus off of yourself and put it upon others. So when you serve, you are tangibly expressing love to whomever in whatever capacity that service takes place. You express kindness. You express peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, compassion, serenity, not needing to force your way in life. You see, there is this exuberance about life that you are passionately wanting to influence other people because of the love that is within you, which is birthed through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you ever observed a sponge? If a sponge absorbs and never releases, it can never serve its purpose. A sponge will eventually rot if all it does is sponge up stuff. It rots because a sponge was designed to effectively release. A sponge is only effective if the stuff that it has absorbed releases. It shares that which it has absorbed. And so that's exactly what Jesus is saying here when he talks about cultivating a relationship with him. There is a natural outworking as we spend time with him, as we have connected with him. There is this natural outworking, and that outworking is to share his grace deposits in my lives and to service other people. Your legacy, my legacy, my influence, your influence, hinges upon your love of service towards other people. After reading these verses 8 through 14, what Jesus is trying to impart to all of us is this. When we stay connected and cultivate a relationship with him, a continued relationship with him, your life and your legacy of influence will outlive you. I can still remember teachers and coaches who had spoken into my life and who believed in me. Teachers and coaches who took time with me, who encouraged me, who motivated me. I can still think of Miss Finkelman in grade 3 or Mr. Elwanger in grade 5. or Mrs. Livingston in grade 7 and 8, or in high school, Mrs. Marks and Mr. Steele and Mr. Lim. Now, I would assume that most of these people that I just listed who were influential in my life, that most of these people are probably no longer living. But their influence still resides in me. In forensic science, there's this principle called the Locard's exchange principle. Locard's exchange principle. And this principle has a very simple premise. Every contact leaves a trace. In other words, every criminal leaves a trace behind. Wherever they step, whatever they touch, whatever they leave, even unconsciously, will serve as a silent witness against that criminal. Fingerprints, footprints, hair, fibers from clothes, the glass that was broken, the paint that is scratched, the blood that is deposited or collected, all evidence that does not forget. This same principle, the Locard's exchange, this same principle applies to every human relationship. Every time two people, every time when they come in contact with one another, there is an exchange that takes place. We can encourage or we can ignore. We can hold out a hand or we can withdraw a hand. We can walk towards somebody or we can walk away from somebody. We can either bless a person or curse a person. Every single contact leaves a trace of me with them. Listen, as I wrap up, when you serve, when you love, when you give of yourself, when you exhibit extraordinary efforts to help someone, I am certain, I am more than certain, that such an involvement will create influence, and it will outlast you all the days of your life. You see, friends, as I wrap up, every one of us, those of you who are watching today, every one of us, every participant and member of the Universal Church of Jesus Christ, whether we're part of the Universal Church or you're part of the local assembly right here at Warden Full Gospel Assembly, all of us are encouraged to engage in service where it's not the exception, but it's the norm of our life. Where we, as followers of Jesus, when we see a need, we step up and we serve the church. We serve people. We serve people in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. And we do it not so that we can have applause. We do it not so that we somehow get financial remuneration or public recognition. No, no, no. We serve simply because the love of Jesus compels us to love other people. That's why we serve. We continue to cultivate our connection with Jesus into other people. And only eternity will be able to measure the fruit that is produced because of the connection to the vine that we've been with. And only eternity will be able to measure the connection that you make when you serve with kindness, when you serve with love, and you do it out of exuberance, not out of compulsion, not out of guilt, but because you are exuberant of the love of Jesus Christ. It simply flows out of you. You want to help people wherever you come in contact with people. So when God brings to remembrance through the the Holy Spirit in your life to care for somebody or to call somebody or to go visit a shut-in neighbor or to check up on people, or when you are walking the neighborhood to pray for your neighbors, and to walk as you walk on the sidewalks in your neighborhood to pray God's peace and presence into that community. That's the love of Christ that is flowing out of you because of your connection to the vine. Oh, friends, may this passion of influence happen in all of us. And may I say this to you, that it can only happen, this passion can only arise when you are connected to the source, remain in the source, and then it's cultivated because Jesus is the source of your life. So take these words of challenge and embrace them on how you can be an influence into your community through your life. God has a purpose for you. God has gifted you. God wants to encourage you by the power of His Spirit in you to see people with the love that He has for them, and you can make a difference in their life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today, may we understand the immense love that you have for people. And as we make a decision to connect with you, let your love for us well up within our hearts so that we may see people and we may see the needs of people as you would see them. And allow us to be a person of influence in the circumstances, in the situations that we encounter. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. See you next week. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And have a great week. God bless you. Amen.